chapter 6.
Because we talked about Holy Week or Passion Week on Sunday, we're just going to continue in our Jesus Jargon series. And come Friday, and we will be back on the subject together as a whole church, looking at the crucifixion of Jesus. But we're moving through the personal relationships, our personal relationships with God, calling this little segment of Jesus Jargon, Let's Get Personal. So far, we've looked at surrender, and we've looked at devotion, a full-on devotional life, what that looks like and what it is. Now, we're going to start looking at different aspects and ways to hear from God. That's what we're going to get started with tonight. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, let's all stand on our feet. I'm so hard to stand. Verse 16 starts, Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please give us clean hands as we study your word. Wash our hearts white as snow. Forgive us of any sin that has even crept into our life secretly, unknown, that we haven't noticed that we've slipped up in. Forgive us, Lord, as we turn to your word, knowing that we need pure hearts, a pure conscience, and clean hands as we turn to your word to receive all that we can for it, from it. So please fill us with your spirit. Give us hearts that are ready to receive all that you have for us, that are able to understand and apply it to our lives in the way that you desire us to. And please speak through me. I don't want any of my words to come through, but I pray that it would all be your words to the hearts of your people, and that each and every one of us would leave this place having grown deeper in you and inspired to continue loving you and loving this world with your love more and more. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Take a seat, everybody. Have a seat. Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about fasting. Yes, fasting. It's a very interesting topic. And fasting should really be a staple of a Christian's personal relationship with Jesus. But the thing about fasting is that it's kind of hard to get a grasp on it. It's kind of hard to get a clear understanding because people don't talk about it that much. And the reason people don't talk about it that much is because we're told in the passage that we read today to keep fasting a secret thing. So this is not something that we're going to learn by example, by watching people who are maybe older than us or maybe who just know about fasting. We're not going to learn it from an example because they're told in this passage when they fast to not really talk about it, to keep it kind of secret. So the only time you'll learn about it is when we come across it in God's word. So to understand it, we have to set apart time to understand it. And we have to make time to talk about it. So that's what we're going to do tonight. First, I'm going to explain what fasting is and how to do it. Really, really practically. How to tackle this idea of fasting. How you can know how to do it in the future. Or if you're wondering how people have done it in the past, how you will know. And then we'll talk about some reasons and benefits behind fasting. Yes?
I know how to do it.
You know how to do it?
I do.
Awesome.
Don't eat, don't drink, and be bored.
Be bored. No, see, that's the whole point. No, I think you will see a different side of it, for sure. It will be, I'm going to open your eyes to a whole new world. Don't you dare close your eyes. From Aladdin. Come on, guys. Track with me. So let me start by giving you a definition of fasting. It comes from the Greek word nestuo. Say it with me. Nestuo. You gotta like get the stew. Nestuo. Yeah, pretty cool. Can you figure out how to spell it? I already posted it, so sorry. Nestuo. What it means is to refrain from something good, usually food, in order to intensify an aspect of your personal relationship with God. So usually fasting is when you stop eating food for a period of time. And you do this to show yourself and God how much you need Him and how much you rely on Him. How much you need Him every step of every single day. But it doesn't only have to be food. And this is what we're going to look at, kind of really unpack in depth tonight. Fasting doesn't only have to be food. A specific example is in 1 Corinthians 7, a chapter that you all loved when we covered it in our frequently asked question series. But we're told that a married couple can fast from sex in their marriage relationship for the same reason that any other Christian would fast from food, to express dependence upon God, that they fully rely on Him. So fasting can apply to many things. It can be anything good. It can be TV and movies. It can be wearing makeup. It can be social media. Oh yeah, social media is a really good one. It can be dressing to impress. You know how it is. Dressing to impress, checking the mirror 8 times before you leave, just to go,
eight
times, my bad, sorry, I'm old school, what can I say? It can be almost anything, as long as it's good, and as long as it's something you do all the time. So you can't be like, I'm fasting from like riding airplanes, it's just something I'm taking a break from right now so I can seek the Lord deeper. And I haven't been on a plane in like 2 months. It's wild. It's really crazy. No. It has to be something you do regularly, multiple times a day. That's kind of like a structure of your day, almost habitual. But fasting is not a method of getting clean from your addictions. That's a really good thing. We need to get clean from addictions, whether it's pornography or something you're addicted to watching or something you're addicted to saying or thinking in a certain way. It's good to get rid of those addictions, but it's not fasting when you get rid of that addiction. It's called getting clean from an addiction. And it can't be fasting from sin. When you fast from sin, you repent. And repentance is really good. We want that. But it's not fasting. It's repentance from sin, which is good, but it's not fasting. Also, fasting, this is very important, is not a diet plan. So if you're fasting to lose a couple pounds, get a little fit, you're doing it to satisfy a rooted fleshly desire. And if you're doing anything in a fast to satisfy your fleshly desire, it defeats the purpose of fasting. So it's not a diet plan. It's not a lose a few pounds really easy. That's very unhealthy. It's not a good train of thought to have to stop eating to lose weight. There's mental disorders founded upon that. It's not a diet plan. Yes, what was your question?
I'll worry if...
Never mind. Okay, nice. Awesome. Fasting can accomplish many things in a Christian's life. It can show your need for God and how much you depend on it. That's a very important blessing that comes from fasting. It can cause us to suffer in a beneficial way, as Jesus suffered and as we see all throughout Scripture, as we are to enter into that suffering that He suffered as well, so that we can, in a way, relate and be connected to Jesus in a new way that we weren't before. It's a huge opportunity to deny your flesh. And when we deny our flesh, even something as fundamentally fleshy as food, our spirit becomes more powerful in light of that. It also, really practically, it frees up time. So if you fast from TV, and what is it now? I think the average American watches 7 hours of TV a day. Is that right? I think so. It's somewhere around that. So if you took a fast, if the average American, because we'll say none of us are average Americans here. If you took a fast from watching TV every day, that would free up 7 hours in your day. Whoa. Oh my goodness. What would you do? That's crazy. So it frees up our time. And it removes one of the many holds that this world has on us. When we fast from something that we're connected to strongly in this world, like food, like social media, like TV, like looking good and all that good stuff when we come out, like looking good and stuff. When we cut those things off for a little bit, we cut off a hold that the world has on us. There's also a scientific explanation for the nerds in the house. Where are we at? I used to not like science until I became a psych major, and I was like, science! I was singing to it. I was like, oh, it's so cool! But here's, Are you science?
Yeah, I love science.
Oh, man. I don't love science, though. I just like psychology. Oh, so enter into the world of the psych. Here we go. Are you ready? Scientifically, why fasting can help us grow deeper in our relationship with God. So we have five senses: taste, scent, sight, hearing, and touch. Five senses. Do you know how much of that we take in all day long? How much of all of those senses we take in?
A lot.
5%. 5% of it. So right now, you're feeling and you're smelling and you're hearing a lot, but you're only taking in 5% of it. How crazy is that? That means there's 95% of things that you're seeing, hearing, feeling, touching, smelling all the time that you are not perceiving in your mind. It's not there to you. You don't know about it in that moment. It's crazy. And so because we only see 5% of the five senses, when we fast from something, especially like food, we free up one of those senses. And here's what's crazy. There's a thing called sensory deprivation chambers. Have any of you heard of these? It's where you get in like salt water and it makes you float and it's at your body temperature and there's no smell, there's no light, so you can't see anything, you can't see color, there's no sound, so you can't hear anything. And most people, when they spend 15 minutes in a sensory deprivation chamber, guess what happens? They start to hallucinate. They start to hear things. They start to see things. They start to feel things that are not there. Now, some people will say, you know, like they'll just want to explain that away. I believe that in some cases, there are spiritual things going on when that happens, when you hear a voice in that case. So when we free up a sense like taste, we're allowed to take that 1% of what we're always perceiving and perceive a little bit more. And so I believe we're a little more sensitive to God's voice. We're a little more sensitive to his leading in our life when we free up that one sense, that 1% of what we're perceiving. Isn't that cool? It just blows my mind. You guys are never going in sensory deprivation chambers now, huh?
No.
Yeah, great. Like sensory overload.
Yeah, like they hear like yeah. Every single person with only one sense, yeah. They can see like, whoa, I see that tiny little bug or whatever.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I mean, I just want to talk about it more, but I can't. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. Let's get down to how to fast. First thing when you're looking at how to fast is you need to identify something in your life that is good that you do regularly. Something in your life that's good and you like it and it's also beneficial to you. It's not harming you because you use it so much. It's beneficial to you and you do it regularly, multiple times a day. Maybe it's even a habit. And then set a time for how long you're going to fast from this thing. So you should do it on days you're not busy because you don't want to like fast from TV and then like have to go to a TV store. That'd be a bummer. But you want to have it on days you're not busy, on weekends or on school breaks where you can really kind of seclude yourself from people so you don't have to say, I'm not going to eat that because I'm fasting and super holy. So, sorry. Can't eat that. You want to be really kind of disconnected and you don't want to be like committed to some things when you're fasting. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is I'm going to fast from school.
No. See? No. See? Oh, man. No. Because school is good. School is beneficial to you.
Oh.
No, you can't fast from school. I'm sorry. And the reason is because with the benefits you've been given in this nation, you are called to learn, and you can get in trouble. So if it's food, when you fast, you should not do it, especially if it's your first time fasting or if you're not like fasting all the time. You should only do it 1 to maybe 2 days. And when you fast with food, you need to drink mega amounts of water. Mega amounts. It's a combo word. Mega amounts of water. Because it's very unsafe. It's very unsafe to stop eating and drinking because it will mess you up. And with food, you absolutely, clean cut rule, you cannot have work or school or sports or labor when you are fasting from food. Anything that's gonna get your heart rate up, I mean, you can walk upstairs, that might get your heart rate up. But anything that's some sort of work or some sort of committed focus like school, you can't do it in that time. So if it's a school week, you just can't do it. If it's a day when you told somebody you'll help them pull the weeds, you just can't fast on those days because it's very unsafe. It can hurt you if you get dehydrated or if you get malnourished or if you just pass out. And so you don't want to do that. So it's never supposed to hurt you. And so don't work when you're fasting. Don't do some sort of work or sports or anything. Yeah, Grace.
Chugging water the whole time. I'm like, what are you doing so hard? It's like, oh, I'm
chugging
like gallons of water.
Chugging, good. I mean, that's the way you gotta do it, but maybe not chugging. With things like TV and social media, you can, believe it or not, you can aim a little longer. So you can go like a week or 2 weeks, even a month. Believe it or not, you can do it. It will be probably a little bit tough. But you can do it. And in the fast, you want to be constantly praying and reading your Bible. Constantly. Every time you're hungry, pray. Every time you get that, like, twitch to watch TV, like, is that the intro? Every time you get that, pray and read your Bible. Every time you're like, Instagram, and like, you're going, pray. Read your Bible and worship Him. And then when you're in the fast, write down what you learn. Because God will reveal things to you differently. God will show you things about yourself that you never experienced before. And so you need to write those down because when you get out of the fast, life might just move on. And you might totally forget. So you need to keep track of what you learn in the fast. And then our passage tells us what we read earlier is when we fast, we need to do it in secret. We're told that the religious people of that time, when they fasted, they'd walk around like this. Don't touch. Don't bring that food near me. It might trigger me. That's what they'd do. They'd go around. They'd make themselves all like dirty and greasy. Like, I haven't eaten in 3 days. And everybody would know, oh, that person's fasting. Give them some space. Come on, they're fasting. And the passage tells us that in that moment when someone's going, give them some space, they're fasting, that they get their reward right there. And that's it. That is their reward. So when we fast, because we do it to grow deeper in the Lord and to receive reward and guidance and direction and blessing from Him, we don't want to have that watered down because everybody else has given us blessing by going, oh, wow, you're fasting. Nice, dude. So you don't want that. So we want to fast in secret, not to like be all secretive and like dark and secret and stuff, but we do need to fast in secret. You will need to tell your parents because they might think you're like socially anxious and like depressed if every time they put on Netflix you go to your room like ugh, I hate you. So you might need to tell them and like your mom's like, it's dinner time, I hate food. don't you know I don't eat that anymore? So no, you gotta let them know. And then stop the fast when you set the time. So if it's a food fast and you said, I'm gonna not eat for this day, if you're like feeling good the next day and you're like, oh, I could still do this, don't. Stop it right there, because eventually you will die. Because you need food. So you don't wanna just keep on going and going because you're like, oh, I'm feeling good, I got control of the senses. So break it when you said you'll break it. Commit to the stopping time. So that is what a fast is. That's how you fast. You can do it with so many things. Things that are good and things that you do on a regular basis. But now I want to look at reasons and benefits to fasting. The first reason we should fast is to receive intensity in prayer. David, when he slept with Bathsheba and his life spiraled down to the lowest low that it ever was at for David. And Nathan the prophet comes to him and tells him how truly bad what he did was, and then that because of that, David is going to be okay. But the son that they conceived will not make it. The son will get sick and die very, very young. And when David hears this, what does he do? He begged God to spare the child. He went without food, he fasted, and he laid on the ground all night, crying out to God, saying, spare my child. And David did this. He went on the fast, even if it was just a day and a night. He did it to have more intensity in prayer. So that is one of the first benefits, is intensity in prayer. A saying, this world, the things of this world, nourishment does not matter as much as one-on-one time with God matters right now. And then crying out to him. The second benefit that we see is direction from God. This is really cool. In Acts chapter 13, the forefathers of church are just hanging out. They're worshiping God, talking together, hanging out, like having a good time, and they're fasting because they want to know which of these men are going to go on and start planting churches, start evangelizing to places that the gospel has not really been yet. And it says, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, appoint Barnabas and Saul. This was Paul the Apostle's widely agreed first missions trip. How crazy is that for the special work to which I have called them? So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So they fasted because they needed to know which way to go. They needed to know who was going to go out and who was going to stay and support them in prayer and in other ways as well. So when we don't know which way to go, when something comes our way, maybe you have a couple options, eighth graders, of what high school to go to. And you're thinking, man, what high school am I going to do? Maybe you're homeschooled. Am I going to continue homeschooling or go to the public high school in my district or maybe a private high school? And that is something that you can maybe hear from the Lord a little more clearly through fasting, through taking a day where you're not going to eat. And when you get hungry, you're just going to cry out to the Lord and receive guidance from him. So the second benefit is direction from God. Being able to be a little more sensitive to the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit as we have cut off one of those holds that the world has on us. And then the third and final benefit is when life is heavy, we're able to receive, to cry out to the Lord in a deeper way and in a more meaningful way than usually. In the book of Esther, when Haman had just had a little conversation with the king and he kind of sort of tricked the king to sign something that said every person who refuses to worship the king and the subjects of the king, the royal people and all that, every person who said, instead I'll worship God, should be put to death, should be killed. This would be literally the start of something like a Holocaust. And so the Jews, as you can imagine, freak out. They panic. We're told that Mordecai is like clothed in sackcloth with ashes, and he like goes to the palace of the king, probably shaking, weeping, mourning, unable to stand up fully, and is just crying out. And then with him, we're told, as the news of the king's decree reached all the provinces, there was great mourning among the Jews, the people who just saw that they are going to be killed in masses because of their beliefs in God. So what they do, they fasted. They took this heavy thing, they wept and wailed, and many people lay in burlap and ashes. They fasted because whatever they were going through in life, whatever you will be going through in life, as life comes your way, there will be times where it's too crazy, too heavy, and you will need to weep and turn off the food pump that is like boiling in your belly and meet the Lord on a deeper level, to be reminded that he is powerful, that he has power above the things of this world, even the things that need to keep, that you need to keep yourself alive. So, as we come to a close, it looks like we're all going to have to say no to the Easter ham, you know, or the Easter turkey on Easter. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. No. This is not the type of thing that you need to put to practice like this week and that you need to apply to your life ASAP and start growing deeper in it. It's not even something that you should make a part of your regular schedule in your relationship with Jesus. Rather, this is a tool that you need to tuck away into your mind and put it on your tool belt so that when life gets heavy and when you need direction from God because you have no clue which way to go, or when your prayer needs need to be taken to a deeper level because it is so overwhelming, then you will know and you will be able to successfully and safely fast. So, as we go into small groups, we got a couple questions just about fasting. Why would a Christian go on a fast? So, just be creative. What? No, it's not a diet! What is something that you could give up for a fast? So that's personal. What's something that you in your life individually could give up? It could be like the four or five that I listed, but you can also think outside the box or outside the bun. What is one reason you would fast? So personally, what's one reason that you could see yourself in the future or maybe in the nearer future fasting? Let's pray, and then we'll break up into small groups. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have opportunities to hear from you, in the study of your word and in prayer and in fellowship, but then also on our own. And for to have that hearing a little more deeper in times when we need it through fasting. We pray that you would solidify these things in our mind, that we would understand it on a deeper level the way that you desire us to, and that it would be a tool that's on our tool belt whenever we need it in the future, as times may get heavy, as we may need more depth in our prayer life, or as we may just need direction from you in a two-way road in our lives where we don't know what to do and which way to go. So continue this theme in our mind as we break into small groups. Be the center of our time, we pray. All this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Break up into small groups.